She's April.
She's Molly.
And we are
the Book Besties. Men can be stupid.
Not all men.
What the fuck is wrong with you, Biggs? All I know is that we all just spent a lot of damn time learning nothing of consequence except what it feels like to get your ass handed to you by a goddamn librarian.
And I'm an Italiano now.
That is like a really offensive Italian accent.
I know. It's all I know, though.
Okay, so guess what?
I was going to do the same thing. You go first. You guess what, then I guess what.
So, Novel Grounds, where we did our first live event, they just won Best Bookstore in Coastal Virginia and posted to their TikTok and Instagram a video thanking their customers. And we're in the video! We're in the video with Emma Berry doing our interview, which was really cool.
I love
cool.
Emma Berry. Love Emma. Oh, yeah. Love that for us and Emma. So, you want to hear something funny?
Always.
So, recently, I had a room appointment, right? And I text you guys, and I was like, it's fine. No big deal. Whatever. Well, this doctor keeps sending me messages on, like, their variation of my chart because he wants to know if I started exercising. Because the exercise he wants me to start is, get this, Tai Chi.
How is that going to help your RA?
He thinks it's good for my fibro side. He's like, you need to tone and strengthen your muscles. And you can't do that with the, because I do yoga like 3 times a week to help with my flexibility and my pain.
You also do gardening and yoga can tone you. Have you seen some of those yogis?
Yeah. And he's like, but I need you to do Tai Chi. He was like very eminent in this appointment that I need to do Tai Chi. And I'm like, Tai Chi, like
stop making people... Tai Chi, stop trying to make Tai Chi happen.
I'm like the stuff the old people do in the park. And he's like, yes, that. And I go, why? And he goes, it's great for balance and this. And I was like, I don't think I'm going to do that. I'm going to stick with my yoga. He then emails me 2 weeks ago. And then he emailed me today on my chart. I'm like, why don't you get this? I don't want to participate in Tai Chi.
Who's paying him? Big Tai Chi? Like, I don't get it.
I don't know. Like, why are you so, like, are you working for Big Tai Chi? Like,
I feel like he needs to get some more patience if he's really that invested.
If he's really worried about my, like, it's weird.
Oh my gosh. I am so fucking tired.
It has been a hell of a week.
I had 3 doctor's appointments this week. I had an appointment with a vascular surgeon. I officially am off his caseload.
Hot damn.
So for those of you that don't know, I had a blood clot occurrence after my surgery over the summer last year. And so I've been on his caseload since July.
Yeah, of last year. Almost a full year.
Yeah, so I'm officially done with that. I don't have to go back unless I am going to have surgery again, and then he wants to see me so he can
keep an eye on you.
Orders for blood thinners right away. Then Wednesday, I went to the ENT because I have been dealing with this fucking sinus issues for a full month now.
You're allergic to the outside.
I'm allergic to the inside, too. There's no place safe for me. I need a bubble.
She needs a bubble. And that's coming from me.
And the ENT did nothing. He did nothing.
And you had to drive a ways because you live in an area of lots of bridges. Lots of bridges.
I had to drive an hour and pay a $50 copay because they don't take the VA insurance that I have.
Eat shit.
Which is a secondary insurance that would have only covered the copayment. And I was just like, are you kidding me? Like, this is insurance for disabled vets' families. Like, I feel like this is something you should take. Where do we live? Where all the veterans are?
I really don't understand when a doctor's office is like, sorry, we don't take veterans' benefits. I'm sorry, you can't take a slight cut in your pay because you don't want to accept this insurance?
But they wouldn't even had to take a small cut, a cut, because That's not my primary insurance. I have a primary insurance provider. This is a secondary insurance that just covers my copays. But it wouldn't have had to take a cut at all.
But if they accept you, they have to accept all the VA insurance.
It was fucking ridiculous. He wants to do a hearing test and see me back in a couple of months and just wants me to keep doing Flonase. And then this morning, I went and got my yearly physical. Mm-hmm. And my A1C is completely normal range. Not even diabetic. It is completely within normal range. So.
I mean, you feel like trash, but hey, that's a fucking win, homie.
I feel like trash, but not related to my sugar. So.
That's a fucking win.
Pretty awesome. But I'm just wiped from this week.
I got to screw with Tater this week.
Yeah.
She got a letter in the mail from the school to the parents of Livia Biggs. And those are never good, right?
Your daughter has an anxiety disorder. Maybe don't fuck with her when she gets a letter in the mail.
It was because she has been one of the 5 students from her school put in the right night for the county.
I don't know what that is.
It's like, they feature writings from across the county at the local library.
Oh, so she's taking after her mom and she's writing.
Yeah, she's writing. And I go, this is really great. I'm really proud of you. And she goes, what is it? And my mom had asked what she had submitted. And I go, I don't know. And I bet you Livia doesn't know. I ask her, what did you submit? She goes, I don't know. I go, you don't remember what you submitted? And she goes, one of the 4 things my English teacher liked.
Way to go.
Cool kids. I love that she's like, I don't know.
Well,
screw you, dude.
All right. So because I feel like shit, I would like to
do the thing.
This episode over.
Yeah. Let's fucking rock and roll.
We are talking about this book, When Women Were Dragons by Kelly Barnhill, which has a gorgeous cover. I mean, it's beautiful. There's a little dragon eye down there. And then you got the moon. What's inside?
I got the paperback. There's like this pretty little dragon print inside on mine.
Oh, I don't have that. I have a library copy. Support local libraries, especially now, because today the news came that the Librarian of Congress, Dr. Hayden, has been fired. So
that
was awesome. Like
I can't believe that.
And I'm sure that there are most people in this country do not have any idea who the Librarian of Congress is, or that we even have a fucking Librarian of Congress. But speaking as someone who is a librarian and has met Dr. Hayden, she was a really great librarian. She is a really great librarian.
She's a big damn deal. And
I don't want to get into it anymore. Let's have a synopsis.
It's like firing the mall Santa, like the good mall Santa that everyone knows and loves and sings the songs and makes the kids stop crying. That's what I'm saying.
I don't think Dr. Hayden has ever hung out with kids ever.
That's not what it's a metaphor. It's a bad metaphor. What I'm saying is she's important. And it affects communities, and I'm gonna shut up. You go.
I love that the comparison of important jobs is mall Santa. What the fuck is wrong with you, Biggs?
Have you ever had a mall Santa that does not like children?
Oh, man. I'm feeling very overstimulated. How about we get a synopsis? Let's go. The Great Dragoning happened in 1955, but sporadic dragoning has been happening for much longer and has continued long after. Mothers and wives, seemingly happy in their domestic lives, suddenly change into dragons, eat their husbands, and destroy their homes. Mm-hmm. But good children in polite society shouldn't talk about that. Alex is young when her beloved Aunt Marla dragons, leaving behind a little girl named Bee. Bee is Alex's sister. She's always been her sister.
Never had an aunt. What are you talking about?
And Marla, there's no Aunt Marla. But Alex remembers the truth. When Alex is 15, her mother dies of cancer. Alex's father abandons Alex and Bee in an apartment in favor of a new life with his very pregnant mistress. From that point on, Alex raises Bee while simultaneously taking correspondence courses with a college and attending high school with top marks. The only support she has is from the local librarian, Mrs. Gaizinska, who has a few secrets of her own. This alt-history, feminist-driven book is a Goodreads Choice Award winner and has an average rating of 3.83, but does When Women Were Dragons by Kelly Barnhill live up to the hype? Hmm. Questions?
Please.
All right, this is not my first time reading Kelly Barnhill. Her middle grade book, The Girl Who Drank the Moon, is a fantastic children's fantasy book. Mm-hmm. What do you think of her writing as a first time reader of her?
I like her writing. She's not a terrible writer.
Yeah.
I don't think she's a bad writer at all. I love her choices when it comes to location and setting. I love her choices when it comes to storyline. This is all original. Her writing isn't terrible. It's not grammatically terrible. She does not overuse the word said or triangle or whatever. You know what I mean?
As so many authors do.
You know, because as one does. Gosh. As one does. But she's just missing something for me.
I think there's just too much going on in this book.
That's also a problem.
But I do like her writing. Like you said, I like her writing. Like
her style and her voice is very clear. You know who she is and where she stands.
Yeah. This was not the book for me. And I was disappointed because this was actually on my TBR too, even though it's mm-hmm. historical fantasy, which is not normally something I would gravitate towards.
Right.
But especially when I saw it was written by her, and The Girl Who Drank the Moon is just such a fantastic right. book. All right. Let's move on. When we first meet Alex, she's a young girl, and the book mm-hmm. ends with her as an old woman. So it's like most of her life. Alex's mother has gone missing at the beginning of the book. When her mother returns, she is very thin, pale, and covered in scars. No one explains this to Alex. Alex's aunt Marla comes to care for her mother. What did you think about the dynamic between the two sisters?
We learn later that their mom and dad were gone, right? Mm-hmm. That they died young-ish. And the reason she had to care for her sister, the reason they're so close, is because she had to raise her sister.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of mirroring here between the two sisters and the sister cousins.
I kind of wonder, I think that they say it's a car accident that killed the parents, but I kind of wonder if their mom dragoned
too, right? Like,
and it's polite society, so we don't talk about it.
Well, that was a problem for me in this book, but it's such a highlight of the times mm-hmm. and what's going on. Mm-hmm. The lack of communication, and this is something that has bothered me for generations with my own family and other people's families. We don't talk about things.
Yeah.
Putting things on a shelf, putting them away, buttoning them up, putting them in a folder is easier than mm-hmm. just being honest and having a direct conversation.
Yeah.
If there was a direct conversation with, I can't even remember anybody's names, with Alex about what was going on with her mom when she first comes home and she's sick. Yeah. Alex would understand but we don't. Just leave mom alone. She needs to rest.
Still not have understood that she had cancer. The way that it's described, I was kind of like, did she dragon and turn back? Because she talks about the scars looking like scales. And they were covering her body. But mm-hmm. I think she had breast cancer.
I think she had breast cancer too. About,
like, her shape being different. And so I'm just assuming that it had to do with her
breast. Her shirt's not fitting right. And like she had line scars, right? That's mm-hmm. what she kept saying. Her lines, there was lines where her chest used to be.
Yeah.
And it's very highlighted when her aunt's like rubbing all this oil and mm-hmm. stuff on her sister when after the cancer treatments. And her mom's mm-hmm. bouncing back and her mom's bouncing back and slowly. And we see their dynamic change.
Yeah.
And the sisters really have this odd balance of who's in charge, which is really odd because Alex's mom is the younger one.
Yeah.
But in this time frame, she is, for some reason, running the family. Well, you know, she gets mad at her sister for not being normal and not having a family. And
well, I mean, again, that's a thing of the time. Mm-hmm. You are stigmatized by the fact that your sister is not married. I mean, her sister was gay.
And
I don't know.
Pants.
And wore pants. I don't know if she was necessarily gay or bi, but she was definitely queer of some sort.
Yeah, she likes girls.
I mean, she does marry a man at one point, but that doesn't mean anything. There were a lot of people who were in, you know,
I mean, marriages. It's called a lavender marriage for a reason.
Yes, but lavender marriages more imply that the both parties understand. Are
gay. Yeah.
And that they understand. Her husband didn't necessarily know that she was gay.
I don't think he knew much, honestly.
He was a dick. But
he's drunk a lot.
I think that you're probably going to think this is weird, but the dynamic of these two sisters reminded me of the dynamic of the two sisters in the book we read last month. It's the woods one.
Oh, It Lies in the Woods.
No, that the one that happened at camp.
Isn't that what it's called?
I don't fucking
know. The God of the Woods.
It reminded me of them. And the reason is because the younger sister does what's expected of her.
Mm-hmm.
The older sister comes out and says, you don't have to do what's expected of you.
Right.
I mean, she had poor timing and she was fucking her sister's husband. But,
it's different.
What I liked about Marla so much in this book is that she would literally sit at the table for dinner,
yes,
and look at her sister's husband and be like, you know, she went to college and had top marks. The only reason she didn't go to grad school is because they said women couldn't.
Yeah.
And then the husband would say, Alex's dad would say things like, women don't need a degree. Why would you need that when you're just going to stay home and run a family? Because she's smarter than you. Mm-hmm.
She literally figured out algorithms in the 50s as a woman. Woo! Can you believe that shit?
Yeah. All right. Moving on.
Mm-hmm.
There appear to be no good men in this book, except for maybe Dr. H.N. Gatz. The men are abusive, cheaters, absent, and cruel. This book is supposed to be told through a feminist lens, but as a mom of boys, I really have an issue with the all men are evil narrative. Did it work in this book?
I think we're just getting a cross section of the men in their lives, but mm-hmm. we had two men. There was a man at the library that worked at the library that was always playing with the little mm-hmm. sister, mm-hmm. Beatrice. And then we had the doctor, right, at mm-hmm. the university that was studying the dragons. That was mm-hmm. he had his own voiceover in the audiobook, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
The male voice. Oh,
I both read and listened to this.
Right, you were switching back and forth. But I don't like the all men stereotype in general, because not all men are evil, gross, yeah, disgusting, awful, mass, terrible human beings, right?
Yeah.
However, in this time frame, men have a lot more free range to treat women like property than we do now. So when we're saying not all men, and we're talking about not all men in our time frame, I think living in that time, we're going to have a different conversation, because we're going to have problems with different types of men.
I disagree with you, because the same kind of men that are going to abuse and cheat on women in the 1950s are the same kind of men that are going to do it today. I do not think that the narrative that all men are evil is okay. I just don't.
I don't think it's okay either, but I'm thinking that number was a lot higher back then than we think.
I think it was a lot more closeted back then.
I think a lot more were getting away with things than we thought.
Well, yeah, sure. Absolutely. They were getting away with it. And that's why these women become dragons. But I don't like that narrative, and I don't think it worked here. There could have been another reason why the women changed. The inequity of women in general would be a reason to rise up and be a dragon. It doesn't have to be because all the men are bad.
But it's not all the men. It's just all the men in her life.
There's a lot of women that turned into dragons.
But those are the story. Those are the ones that we know about. We're not following the story of the women that didn't dragon. So they have good husbands. They have good lives. This is the women that dragoned. That's the reason it's these men. That's the reason it's this story. It's not, yes, this story insinuates all men, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the men that forced these women into this place.
So I think we're saying the same thing. Yes. Because I don't like this narrative, and I don't feel like that. I think that the way that it was portrayed in this book didn't work because it was saying, it was only looking at a lens of the bad guys. There aren't good guides. And I actually got the impression that the librarian who plays with B wasn't straight. And
oh, no.
I don't think that Dr. Gatz was either.
Oh, I think he was.
He may have been.
I think he was just an academic who was focused on his work.
I mean, he was totally comfortable with the fact that the women were queer. The women he was studying, Marla and her lover.
Yeah.
And that would have been unusual. We do learn, I don't know where to talk about this, so I'm just going to say it now, but we do learn that it's not just biological women that dragon. There are trans women that are dragoning as well.
Yeah.
So being a woman in whatever capacity that is, they could dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that goes into the magic, I think, right?
Yeah.
Right? The identity. I identify as it. That's a magical thing. Feeling and being this powerful thing that we are as women.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like the idea that women are powerful in magic, though. I do too.
And I like the idea that we turn into dragons in this instead of like something that women get turned into lions a lot. Like, right. Yeah. So she's a lion mom, you know, or whatever. But
mama bear.
Yeah. Rawr. But a dragon, that is a magical, majestic, mythical creature.
That will burn your house to the
ground. That will burn your. Yeah.
And they will eat all your sheep.
Burn the patriarchy.
Shit in your coffers, man.
That was just too much, Molly.
Always. I just go a little too far every time.
The first time Alex sees a dragon, it appears as though her across-the-street neighbor has transformed. Mm-hmm. Alex really doesn't understand what happened and is told it isn't polite to talk about. But in 1955, when the great dragoning happens, her Aunt Marla is among the women who changed. Her mother is not. Given what we know about Alex's father, why do you think her mother didn't dragon?
She wanted to protect her.
I don't think it had anything to do with Alex.
I think it was keeping Alex safe. I think that mom knew if she were to leave, her husband was going to abandon Alex for his mistress.
I don't think it had anything to do with Alex. I do think it had to do with the fact that she chose not to change. Mm-hmm. But I think it had to do with her still wanting to keep on appearances.
Really? Oh, yeah. No. I think it was more about Alex. I think it was about protecting Alex. I think it was about protecting Beatrice because she knew her sister was going to do it. As soon as she...
Like, I don't know that I think of her as a mother that cared that much.
She cared enough to make sure Alex knew how to do the knots.
So I texted you while I was reading this, and I was like, can you talk to me about knot tying and the magic of knot tying?
Yeah.
Because it's such a huge part of this book, and it's not something that I understand. And you, my little heathen witchy friend, sent me a great article, which I'll link below.
It made me feel so great that I had knowledge you didn't have, because I'm always going to you and I'm like, hey, April.
You have a lot of knowledge I don't have.
I know.
I don't know anything about bootlegging in Vermont.
That's true. You don't. but I like how they pulled it into the math, right? Mm-hmm. Like the math and magic and science and magic definitely have this intertwining, you know, and we see this with like when we talk about alchemy or we talk about, you know, early sciences, astronomy, that kind of thing. And that's how like magic and witchcraft really got into the sciences and how mm-hmm. science became so taboo for a long time. I think her knots were her creating algorithms. I don't think it was magic to her. I think she was creating algorithms that she knew that would protect the girls.
That's interesting. That's an interesting take on it.
Because that's what she knows. She knows math.
When it first is introduced, I got confused because I thought she was referring to the knitting as the knots. Because she'd be like, she made a sweater of knots. And I was like, oh, well, that's knitting. That's crocheting or whatever. Like, that's what she's doing. But
the specificity that it's, and dresses and like everything. Curtains. She had curtains she had made.
Yeah. But she was putting magic into them. She was not necessarily casting spells in like the traditional sense.
No.
But it was tying knots in certain ways that were protective.
Knots
are and I'll put the article that you sent me below, so, but
I've talked about this before, right? I do cords. Cords are, I want to see if I have anything here. I don't have my bag of cords right now. What I do is when I do knots and in cords, I do them with intention. I usually create some sort of cording with knots when I have a bad dream that feels like an omen of some sort, or my anxiety's high and I'm worried about, I worry about our tree that's over our well a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. But she has become an altar to me in ways. So she gets tithings. I do cords and mountings and protection spells for her. Mm-hmm. Is it working? I don't know. But what I do know is it makes me feel better.
Well, there you go.
So,
I mean, and this isn't something that's new. No. Tying knots has been a part of many religions and things. And you've even got it tattooed on you.
That's what Discovery's about. Like, Diana's magic is knots, right? Mm-hmm. The knot magic is a thing. Mm-hmm. So it's called, like, in, this is from the World of All Souls Friends, but this is talks about knotting and cords and different weavings. And Deb did a lot of research into ancient magic for this. And when I tell you, the tithings of that stuff, all go into different kinds of magic. You can see it in early Christianity too.
Yeah, I was going to say, and they mentioned that in this book as well.
Yeah.
There's also, I mean, look at making dream catchers, Native Americans that made dream catchers. That was a type of knotting.
I mean, look at our genetic makeup. Look at our freaking genetic makeup. It is two strings that are woven together that are just knotted and twist it.
Yeah.
As it's Sheldon pretty interesting. Says, as Sheldon says, it's not string theory. It's a knot. It's all tied up together.
It's pretty interesting. I appreciated the article you sent me because it really helped me understand it all.
Right. Like, because it's not your world.
No, it's not. All right. The first time. Nope. I already read that. All right, B is Alex's baby cousin, but after Marla Dragons, B becomes Alex's sister. Eventually, Alex begins to actually raise B as her daughter. I know we both have a lot of feelings on this. I don't actually have a formal question, so I just want us to rant. So let's rant.
Who the fuck do you think you are making your ninth grader raise as kindergartner? Who the fuck do you think you are?
And not only that, but what kind of woman, allows the abandonment?
A woman that has been waiting a long time to be that man's wife.
Still.
I.
That is look disgusting.
At the way she, look at the way she treats Alex, when Alex comes to the house for things.
I know. She told her to come and then was like, I had a bunch of stuff to do. Won't let her meet their brothers because she doesn't ever want them to meet. Like,
but she never does.
She never does. That we know of.
I feel that though. Like, I didn't meet my blood half-brother till I was 13. And I've met him a whole 5 times. I've spent,
like, I mean, I
get it.
I get that.
I
have some family like that as well. Like, I have some cousins I've never met. But I just don't. I'm angry that Alex's dad abandoned them 100%. Mm-hmm. That was despicable of him. That's awful. Angrier that his mistress allowed it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, men can be stupid.
Why men?
Men can be stupid. Mm. But when they have a woman who is the rational person in the relationship, they are a little less stupid.
But, and then
she moved into their house and just took over the house.
Like,
and like they never existed.
That's fucking ballsy of him. He's just like, I don't even want to buy a new house. Just move into my first wife's house and like take over. And like she trashes the place. She is such a trash human being. She lays around. She doesn't respect the house. She fills it with smoke. It's just.
And I mean.
The disrespect. The disrespect to his first wife.
Absolutely. I think she was fucking him while the wife was dying of cancer. So it's not like she had any respect.
The first and the second time, because she used to also go with him on his road trips.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that he was ever actually on road trips so much as he was
just fucking with her
at her house, fucking her. But see, I think this goes to we've talked about this before too. There's something still ingrained in us deeply as women that we have to compete for the men.
I don't like that feeling though.
I don't like it either, Molly, but it is something that is innately a part of us since the beginning of history. So what we are seeing here is these women that are competing for the man that's financially stable because he can take care of me.
I don't like it. I don't like it. And like leaving her to fend for herself is one thing, okay? Teenagers become independent all the time. It's making her have to figure out how to raise another child.
Which he doesn't consider to be his child. That's why he's easily able to do that.
It's just, it's so fucked up. It is so fucked up on so many levels.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder how common this is, you know? And we had a conversation about why CP... Child Protective Service hadn't gotten involved because there wasn't any back then, folks.
Yeah.
That's right. Child Protective Services weren't invented until the late 60s. 1969 is the year Child Protective Services started.
There were still children's homes and there were still children that were taken away, but it was more often that children were abandoned than it was they were removed from homes.
Yep.
Because it wasn't considered.
It's not talked about.
Well, it wasn't considered criminal to beat your children. That's what you did. Spare the rod, spoil the child. So,
how are they going to learn to behave if you don't beat the fuck out of them?
I know. And I got to tell you, I still have family that are like, you know, if James would have been spanked more.
Look,
fuck you very much.
Look. I was heavy on discipline, not physical discipline, but I was a heavy discipline mom when they were little. I padded a pamper. Okay. I'm not going to lie. I padded a pamper.
I did too.
The only time I've ever hit a kid was Piper screamed, no, don't touch me in the middle of Kroger's in League City. And my reaction was slap her in the mouth. What are you doing? And she's like, yeah. Get to touch me. I don't want you to be near me. And like, she's throwing this massive, it was a meltdown, right? It was, and I didn't know, you know what I mean? I picked her up. I carried her out of there. I apologized for the mouth slap because knee jerk reaction, but it's still there. People still want.
Yeah. The boys have both been spanked, but it was a blanking on words. It was a serious concern of safety.
Yeah.
They went outside without permission. Sam was still in diapers, and they were in the front yard in underpants. James had underwear, and Sam had on a diaper, and that was it.
Stranger danger. Stranger danger. Stranger danger.
And that, the reaction that both Tom and I had.
Understandable.
First of all, they shouldn't have gone outside without permission. Second of all, they should not have been in the front yard. And we have a very, very strict, you must wear clothes when you go outside rule. That was scary. We had literally just moved into our neighborhood, and...
Yeah, that is scary, sweetie.
They weren't even wearing clothes. So, yes, so they both got spanked for that. And I... That was the only time. That was a serious security concern. It would have taken... in a blink of an eye, they could have both been gone.
Yeah. Seconds. Mm-hmm. Seconds, because that's what it takes for baby nappers.
Yep. I just really... the dad abandoning them, the dad
Gone. He was already gone. She was already raising them. He could have just left them in the house, ignored them, paid the bills there, and put her in another.
But I have a feeling that the mistress didn't want them. Because exactly, because that's the life that she wanted for decades or for years. That's the life she wanted. That house, that paycheck, that she wanted a family.
She was waiting for that bitch to die so she didn't have to be a freaking assistant anymore.
Exactly.
Ugh.
Move on.
Please. I'm so pissed.
I know. It's gross. Alex is exceptionally smart. Her mother graduated with a top math degree but became a housewife after she got Alex's father does not believe college should be a priority for women, but Alex is determined anyway. Fortunately, she has the help of local librarian, Mrs. Gaizinski, but Mrs. Gaizinski is more than she appears. Thoughts on the librarian?
She is a meddling crazy lady, and I love it.
I love her.
She has money to throw around, and she don't fucking care.
She has money to throw around because the person she was going to marry, the family didn't like her. Didn't like her, so they paid her off. It's so funny. I have to read this quote. This is on page 200. And this is my favorite quote of the whole book. It actually went in my journal. Okay. Ooh. In my journal. All I know is that we all just spent a lot of damn time learning nothing of consequence except what it feels like to get your ass handed to you by a goddamn librarian. And I was just like, don't fuck with librarians.
She is so funny.
Katie's actually already read this book, and so I actually sent her that quote when I got there. But
she you weren't there. Congress yet. Alive, mm-hmm. and alive. It was amazing.
Mm. Yeah, she you had know who scientists. I'm picturing
for her is like Kira Washington, or like, you lie and you steal and you cheat. No more, I won't take a no. What is her name?
Oh my god. I do not know what you're talking
about. She played Tina Turner.
Oh, I don't know.
Angela Bassett.
Yeah, but Mrs. Gaczynska is white.
Oh yeah, she's definitely Polish, but my brain instantly meant older black woman.
You know who I think she is?
Who?
And you're going to think this is an interesting... You're not going to agree with this choice. Betty White.
Actually, I don't hate that. But because poor Betty's dead, my love.
I know she is. Rest in peace.
Oh, the aunt's
I blame. Arthur, I blame People Magazine for Betty White's death.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
The week before she died, they published their edition that had Betty at 100. And she died the week before her 100th birthday. I blame them.
I also pictured the aunt as Bea Arthur. Fucking love Bea Arthur.
Like Bea Arthur when she was on Maud.
Yeah.
But Betty White, because she can seem so sweet and nice and friendly, But if you've ever seen her in the show Hot in Cleveland, she got fucking sick.
She got, look at any of her like late movies, like any Sandra Bullock movies, that one she did with Kristen Bell, where they're fighting. It's like Kristen Bell, Jamie Lee Curtis. Florence Henderson's in it. Who else?
I've definitely not seen this one.
Let me find this real quick because it's going to bug me.
I really liked Mrs. Gazinska. I liked her a lot. I thought she was...
You Again, it was called.
Oh, I have seen that. I thought she was a great balance between all the other women, mm-hmm. because we only have women the dragon and women the don't dragon, and then we have her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And she's definitely like a woman that could have dragoned. Like, if they are dragoning because of the way that they're treated, she could have dragoned.
I could see a different variation of this novel where she's the narrator.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As like a curator, not as...
Yeah.
She's the curator of knowledge for the dragons. Yeah. She's the one that lasts forever. She's the one. Yeah. You know, that's the vibe I was getting.
But let me just say, I believe that librarians are book dragons.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I was happy to see the librarian in this. All right. So throughout this book, we get excerpts from speeches and papers regarding dragoning. This is intended to add to the historical context of the novel. We've seen this in other books we've read, like The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. What did you think about it in this book?
I've been trying to figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the book would work without it.
I don't either.
But I don't like it in there either.
Hmm,
if that makes sense. Like, it feels, some of the times when you're listening to the audiobook and the male narrator pops up with his history and he's trying to like just ramble on as he's going on, first thing your brain goes is, Jesus Christ, hurry up. Your second thing your brain is doing is going, this doesn't feel necessary right now. And then you're halfway through the next chapter and you're like, oh, this is why you said that. It just.
So for me, I felt like it worked. It was the only thing that made this book still feel like it could be real. And this is actually going to lead me to my next question.
Right.
Because this is where I was like, okay, you've built all this history into this story. Like, you've created a history for this story. You've made it seem like it's a part of reality. And then this shit happens.
Right.
During Alex's senior year, the dragons return, including her Aunt Marla. And the dragons are still fully dragons, but they can speak and do basic human things. They even carry purses and wear scarves. What were your thoughts on this?
I'm glad the dragons came back. Like, I figured they were going to be coming back because we had the garden dragon, right? And that was the old lady sitting there just watching her. And I figured they were coming back. The dragons talking, a little off topic. Okay. Them becoming sharecroppers, weird. I'm sure, spoilers, guys, winning a Nobel Prize, not necessary.
Fucking insane.
Go
ahead, keep going. I gotta look for the text that
it's just, we progress slowly into madness, it feels like. First, okay, women are turning into dragons. I get it. Female, the body breaks up, freaks out, can't handle it, bursts, done, right? Then we have, oh my god, they're back.
Yeah.
Oh my god, they're arguing with people on the street. The cops are chasing them, the police are chasing them, the freaking firefighters are trying to shoot them down with hoses. Okay, fine. Now they're talking to us. Now they're selling bread at the freaking farmer's market. What kind of dragons are they?
Yeah.
Let them be dragons or let them be talking dragons. We can't have both.
Well, they keep calling the foundation that was studying, it was Wyvern. It wasn't even, so if you read Fourth Wing, you know, wyverns and dragons are not the same thing. This is what I texted
Katie. Neither are fire drakes, either.
Yeah. I texted Katie. a full dragon just talking, knitting, and wearing a purse and a scarf. Face palm, eye roll.
I just...
like, that's where we were in this book. You did such a good job making it sound like this is real history. And then they come back and it's a cartoony.
Them coming back
and being able to be a part of society and do things, that didn't bother me. But why are they still fully like the stereotype of the women? Like, why are they still...
like, they just... That
Where did you. She find a purse to fit around her fucking dragon arm?
Like,
Where
did it come from? But
where did it come from?
She did a beautiful job of the dance, though. The dance is like this, the women dancing and the girls slowly transitioning and turning. It's this female empowerment and female joy coming together and being together and feeling that joy. And that joy is just building, right? And that's what turns all this group of girls into dragons, right? I don't want to insinuate that every woman that turns is a lesbian, but that's how she's poking that stick.
It's so interesting that you said that, because that is one of my questions that I have. So I'm going to have you hold that thought because I want one more before. Okay.
Held.
All right. So there is a second great dragoning, and it happens during the dance that you were mentioning. It's Alex's senior year. It's the prom.
Yeah.
It's young girls that transform, because at this point they had thought that the only people who transformed were mothers and wives. But Gatz tells her that trans women, I don't think he actually calls them
trans. He calls them boys. He said boys have turned. Men and boys have turned.
Right. But there's a whole scene in this book that is drag show.
Yes.
So, but this is young girls. Like, is one of the girls that starts transitioning. She's only like five. She's only five at that point. All right. So Alex is a witness to this at her school prom, but she is not one of the ones that changed.
She stops herself. I feel like she's constantly stopping herself.
I don't think so. I think that she made a decision that that would not be her thing. And she never got like the calling to be a dragon.
Like her mom.
Well, I think her mom says that she did feel the calling, but she chose not to. B begins to transform, and this leads us to the end of the book. So this is what happens at the end of the book. So spoilers. Alex gets into college. She conveniently finds her friend Sonia, and they begin dating. So Sonia was a part of her life, and then dad caught them kissing, and then
he got
rid of her. Marla and several of her dragon friends move in together with Alex.
As one would.
Right. B changes into a dragon, but still can go back and forth, which is unlike any of the others that have happened, that Dr. Gatz has studied. We get more information that Alex becomes a scientist, even though she was studying math, but whatever. And B wins a Nobel Prize as the first dragon to do so. And Alex marries a woman who leaves her a widow. Did you find this to be a satisfying ending?
No!
I agree.
Fucking lovely not!
I agree.
This much of the book, friends. This much of the God-blessed fucking book is her childhood. This is where it starts. There was no graduation this year. Really, should they have given our diplomas? Why? You really did just go shit.
Yeah.
I'm running out of space.
Yeah.
And start throwing shit in there.
Yeah.
Ugh.
It was so unsatisfactory. It was just, I don't know. It was not up to par. And again, it goes back to how much she put all this history and world building in here and then just threw it away in the ending.
Yes.
It was
you can't
a solid
see my shaking my head on the pod, but I am nodding vigorously, friends.
Like, I was fine with giving this a solid 3 until then. Then I was like, no.
I was sitting at 3, especially with the dance. The dance is so pretty, and it was so moving, and it meant so much. And for Alex to watch it and view it and see her age mates, her classmates, become free, right? That was a symbol of their freedom and fit. And right, we're getting all this symbolism with the hippies and the gay movement and women's rights and all of these things, right? That's what the dragoning is symbolizing. So to go from that beautiful moment and just be like, okay, we need to hurry up. It was word vomit near the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It made me so mad.
It took it from a 3 to a 2.5 for me.
There
was too much work that went into it for that to be the way it ended.
And like, we're just going to blow through all of the progress she makes as a scientist. And we're not going to talk about the fact that her sister cousin goes from being dragon with Nobel Prize. Yeah. Eat shit. From Wisconsin. Eat shit.
The shit from Wisconsin or like
dragon from shit Wisconsin, specifically.
But from eat Wisconsin.
Shit. Eat shit.
From dragons.
You did this.
In Wisconsin.
Yeah. Frozen dragon shit, actually. Wait till winter to eat it.
Oh my gosh. I want to take a moment to talk about one of my big bell ringers for this book.
Please.
We love queer representation in books. We cover a lot of books that are queer. And we are a queer and ally podcast, right?
Yo, I'm gay. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I'm married to a man, but I like girls.
I know. I know, Molly. I'd explain that to somebody, by the way. I'd explain that
to somebody. That I'm like bisexual, but married to a man?
Yeah. And I'm like, you do realize that that is one of the sexes that she's attracted to. She doesn't have to marry a woman because she's bisexual. She can marry a man.
I just wasn't fully honest with myself until I was secure in my marriage and happy with my husband and go, oh shit, I liked girls. Too late now.
But I mean, there are many bi people who are in
marriages happy hetero relationships. That are,
yeah, exactly. Okay, anyway, I don't know why I had to explain this.
Thank you for defending me, though.
I was like, yes, it makes sense because she also likes men.
If you met Molly, the math, I promise you that.
It's fine. All right, so, but I have a really big issue with this being a feminist, but sorry, let me try that again. I have a really big issue when a feminist book demands that all women are queer. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are on this, because for me, as a feminist and a straight woman, I don't think that being a feminist means that all men are the problem and we should stop being with men and we should be gay, because then we would all die out. That would end civilization.
We would all die out. My problem with it is we're getting this cross section, right? Mm-hmm. And then we get the history from the professor, and then we go back to her point of view. She is purposely only giving us one point of view because she wants to push a certain storyline.
Okay.
She could have given us a hetero storyline. She could have showed us other dragoning people that had normal relationships. She purposely did this to make that statement.
And that's what bothers me, because here's the thing. You're telling me every girl that went to that prom was queer?
No, most of them probably wanted to go to freaking Woodstock, to be honest.
Yeah. The kind of craze hysteria that they experience at the prom sort of reminds me of like scenes that are from Outlander, even where there's like witches that are like, you know, when they get in the hysterics.
Causing hysterics, yeah.
Yeah, and then they become overly sexual. Yes. Even with each other. So like,
I hate that sort of, by the way.
I don't women, like it either.
like just because women are experiencing some otherworldly feeling, be it connected to God, religion, mana, whatever the fuck you want to say, high as a kite, I don't care. It doesn't mean we just start kissing each other.
Yeah.
Do you know how many times I've been drunk with female friends and never put my lips on them? Yeah. Shocking.
I was in college and was in a sorority. I never made out with a girl.
Never.
Never.
Well, look at you being hetero and doing normal things.
I know, right? And like, you and I have been stoned together and we don't like make out. Like,
no, I mean, that's not to how be fair, we're works.
Both to be fair, we're both married women, but
yeah, and we don't look at each other like that. Honestly, no. We look at each other like siblings constantly.
You look way too much like me that even if I were into women, it would be really weird to be into you.
We're just too familial. It's no.
Yeah. No. I don't like it.
I don't like it.
So that was my big issue with this book. Not all the women had to be gay.
No.
And I think it was perfectly fine that Marla's partner, I'm assuming what happened was Marla's partner dragoned because
they couldn't be together. Right. And that's all she wanted. My problem is
and that would be a good reason, but not all of them had to be.
But we talk about this all the time on Pod. You don't have to have a gay character just to have a gay character.
Yeah. You don't have to be like, look, a gay, like,
a gay! Look, I created a gay just for this book, just for you. Aren't you happy?
Marla being gay totally made sense to this book.
Made sense.
I didn't really mind that Alex was gay. Like, Marla kind of picked up the vibes when Alex was very young. Everyone was.
It's the subplots, man. The subplots don't need the alphabet mafia in it. It doesn't need to be hit with the queer flag. Like, we're all gay. A little bit, maybe. I don't know. Probably not. But
hey, there's the Kinsey scale is still widely recognized as a scale for sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say that I've ever been necessarily like attracted to the point that I am turned on by a woman.
Yeah.
But there are women that I'm like, damn, that girl's hot.
Yeah. But like, I enjoy beauty in general, be it male or female, non-binary, trans. If you are attractive or look good or styled yourself well, I am going to be the first person to walk up to you and be like, oh my God, you look amazing. I do this with strangers all the time. Yeah. Super uncomfortable with my kids, but I'd rather be honest with humans.
Well, I like it when women compliment other women because there just isn't enough.
No, we don't build each other up at all.
No, because we're still fighting for the men, which is just dumb.
So gross.
I don't need to fight for the man. I've got a man. We've been in this for 15 years. Like, I don't need to fight for another man.
I don't honestly
matter. I will cut a bitch if she tries to come for my man, but I don't need to fight for a man. All right. Rating, anything else? What did you give it?
I gave it a 2.5. 2.5.
Mm-hmm, me too.
The more I sit with it, the more disappointed I am in it.
Mm-hmm.
I had so many people want me to read this book because it's historical fiction and it's my jam. And I love a good fantasy turn. And there's just things I would do different. And I'm not Kelly, so I can't.
I really feel like she had me at a solid 3. And one of the things she that did. We talk about here
chapter
is
36.
Exactly. One of the things we talk about is how critically, like, you and I rate books because we read a lot of books.
We read a lot of fucking
books. I'm stingy with my 5 stars. I'm stingy with them.
She is.
A 3-star rating for me, I will read multiple books by that author that I've given 3 stars.
It has to be viral now for me to trust Kelly. You know?
I feel like you can listen to it. The Girl Who Drank the Moon. It's so beautiful. That's her middle grade. It won a Newbery. I mean, which is amazing.
Good for her. But this is really it, Donna.
No.
You want to talk about what's coming up?
Goodreads Choice Award winner. Yeah, we can do that.
Well, people aren't smart. No, that's not true. I love our fans. You guys are brilliant.
Next week, we have the honor of hosting Beth Rebus to talk about this series, The Chaotic Orbits, which starts with Full Speed to a Crash Landing, then moves to How to Steal a Galaxy, and then ends with Last Chance to Save the World. Or does it?
Oh my gosh.
Tune in to find out. We've already filmed this episode. We filmed out of order, which doesn't happen very often, but it does happen.
Fun on this episode.
I am so excited for people to hear it. And
it was so much
fun. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but Beth tells us an exclusive story that will have you laughing your ass off.
I was reeling.
So funny.
I've been messaging with her on Insta. We are Instagram friends. You know, my private Insta, not the book besties.
Yeah,
and
I
like,
know.
And I was like, and this won't make sense till next week, guys, but the puppy got saved. And I messaged her the picture I sent you, and I go, in case you were as worried as I was, he's alive and well.
I'm so glad that puppy's okay. But yeah, that's what we've got next week. And then we don't have a lot of episodes left. We're almost done.
And then
done.
Telegraph Club ends the month.
Last night at the Telegraph Club. Yeah, that'll end the month. We don't have a lot left, but we still have four authors. We've got Beth next week and then three more authors.
I'm really excited.
This has been a good season. I mean, not all the books have hit, but it's been a very good season.
I mean, but that's kind of the point. We're not here for all the laughs and chuckles. Not everything's five stars, homie.
Yeah.
Not everything's five stars.
Columbus Book Festival. We've started getting in ARCs from the authors that we're running two panels. We're moderating two panels. So we've started getting in ARCs for that. And we did get a list of who is going to be at, the Columbus Book Festival. And
Annapolis is much closer, but that's not going to be here.
Columbus is far for both of us, but Katie is there. So the Columbus Book Festival, the author list has been out. I'll link it below. We do not know who we're going to be interviewing yet. We are still waiting for them to get back to us with the list of these authors are okay with meeting with the content creators, which is what we are.
Matt Dinneman. I'm a coastie. You're a coastie. I'm assuming you're a coastie. You got to come, buddy.
I don't know if he actually was in the Coast Guard or if he
The way he talks about it, maybe he just grew up in a place that was really...
He's from Washington, so...
Who knows?
Anyway, we're hoping that Matt Dinneman is going to be...
Dinneman. That's exactly how I'm going to say it, too. Dinneman. He's going to be like,
please don't do that. Please do not embarrass me.
I won't embarrass you, just myself.
Join our Patreon so we can pay for going to Columbus.
Seriously.
We need help. That's all I've got. How about you?
I'm good.
All right, we'll see you next week. Bye. Thank you for joining us on Book Besties. Don't forget to like and subscribe. The views discussed here are those of April and Molly, not those of anyone else. Today's book was When Women Were Dragons by Kelly Barnhill. Your book besties are Molly Biggs and April Watkins, editing by Thomas Watkins, and music is Sleep Sweetly by Prigida. Don't forget to follow the Book Besties on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. If you'd like to contact the Book Besties, please email us at bookbestiespod@gmail.com or visit our website, bookbestiespodcast.com. You can support the Book Besties by joining our Patreon at Book Besties Podcast. Until next time, besties, get lost in your favorite book.